You are listening to a recording of a sermon delivered at St. Rose Community Church. To learn more about our church, please visit our website at www.sdrosecc.org.
1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to be in the first 11 verses. And if you don't have a Bible, that's okay. We've got plenty. You can raise up your hand and one of our members will bring you a copy. So just slip up your hand and we'll get you a copy. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verses 1 through 11 is where we're going to be camped out this morning. All right, so Paul's focus, since the beginning of chapter 11 in 1 Corinthians, has been about how the Corinthian church was to come together corporately as God's people, right? His concern is how they were coming together to worship when they gathered together. Remember, 2 weeks ago, the first part of 1 Corinthians 11, the main concern was on how the Corinthians were dressing themselves for worship, how they were adorning themselves, how they were presenting themselves. And Paul says, actually, the way you're presenting yourselves and through your actions, you're tearing down and confusing the church. That's his concern. Last week, we saw in the second part of 1 Corinthians 11 how the church in Corinth was not correctly viewing the Lord's Supper when they got together, right? The people who were rich and had a lot of, and were just well off, they were coming and eating first while the poor amongst them was not getting anything to eat. And Paul says some strong words. He says, if you're going to do that, it'd be better if you just didn't gather at all. Those are some strong words. He was concerned about it. And so this morning, he's continuing in that focus, right? How they are coming together as God's people. And as we come to chapter 12, he focuses on another specific way in which they are, in which they are dropping the ball. There's a specific concern here, right? Paul's not just writing on topics that he enjoys to write about. He's addressing concerns. So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. And let's look at what this issue is. And after we read it, we're going to pray that God's Spirit would help us to understand his word. Verse 1 says this. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. To another, the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Verse 11. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your Holy Spirit, your Spirit that has allowed us to sing what we just sang, confessing you as our Lord. And so we pray this morning as we come to your word, I pray that by your Spirit, which we're going to talk about a lot today, you would help us to understand and see and savor truths. Lord, I just pray that we would come to this passage and we would know that your word is good and it is holy and every bit of it is for our instruction and none of it is wasted. So help us to, by your Spirit, see what you are intending for us to see. So I pray that you would do that work. We can't do it by ourselves, so we're humbly asking you that your Spirit would help us this morning. Open up our eyes, open up our ears, open up our hearts, and I pray that you would sink it down deep into our hearts. We pray that you would show us Christ, reveal your glory in this moment. And I pray that you would help me only to say things that which you want me to say. I just pray you'd help me. Put a guard over my mouth. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, verse 1. What's the topic at hand? Verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts. I don't want you to be uninformed, he says. That's the issue. Spiritual gifts. Verse 2 and 3. What does he say? You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. The people in the church of Corinth were saved out of different backgrounds, just like all of us. We all have a testimony of what God has saved us out of. And many of them, as we saw in verses 2 and 3, were saved out of the pagan worship of some false gods. Verse 2, it specifically says that they were worshiping and being led astray to mute idols. And that's what the people who made up this church were saved. That could be a disaster. The people who were saved came out of this kind of worship of mute idols, pagan worship. And as a part of their pagan worship, he's addressing them because the experience of them worshiping pagan mute idols, man, it involved experiences of like spiritual high or like spiritual ecstasy. We see he's writing to inform them about utterances that they would have had, inspired sayings that they would have had while worshiping these mute idols. And he's just writing about a concern about people having an overall fascination with being spiritual. And we can see the same thing in our culture, right? There, I can think of many conversations I've had and people who are obsessed with being spiritual, obsessed with spiritual things, all while finding their spirituality in mute pagan idols. Not all spiritual things are from God. Right? That's what we see in these first couple verses. And I know that, I mean, if you can ask somebody who went to Peru this most recent time, when a lot of times when we go overseas on mission trips, there's just a different level of like spiritual awareness when you go overseas and you're not surrounded by phones and all this stuff. There's just more of an awareness of spiritual things, right? In other countries that we don't even feel. Probably because people are worshiping mute idols more often than we just see it here in our cultural context. You see people being obsessed with spiritual things, but not being obsessed with God, God's Holy Spirit. Paul wants the reader to understand from the beginning. He wants us to understand what is from the Holy Spirit, what's from God, and then what's not from God's Holy Spirit. Here's what, and this is what he says. Let's look at truth number three. Truth number one. I don't know where that, we're looking at verse three. Truth number one is this. God's Spirit enables his people to confess that Jesus is Lord. God's Spirit enables his people to confess that Jesus is Lord. Look with me at what he says in verse 3. We read it a few times, but again in verse 3, he says, therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Does this mean, you don't have to answer this question out loud, just think about it. Does this mean that Paul is saying all you have to do to be saved is just say a sentence out loud? Just say Jesus is Lord and you're good. Is that what he's saying? I mean, there are many false teachers in our world today who say something to the effect of Jesus is Lord. You go and there's crosses and they say Jesus is Lord, but then what they teach and what they worship is not God. It's false. So I want you to think about, so what does Paul say? What does he mean when he says no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit? Well, I want you to think about what that confession means. When we say Jesus is Lord, what do we mean? Like, what is communicated when we say that? Well, just think about if we confess anybody as our Lord. Let's just think about a person. If you were to say, so-and-so is my Lord, you are my Lord, what are you saying? You're giving up your own rights in a way, right? You are saying, you're in the authority of my life, you have control of my life, and I want to serve you. I'll do what you want me to do. My life is in your hands. That's what it means to confess someone as Lord. So by us confessing that Jesus is Lord, what are we confessing? We're confessing that we're sinners who need to be redeemed. We're confessing that we, by Jesus' death and burial and resurrection for our sins, have been redeemed. And we're confessing that because of this, that our lives are no longer ours. To confess Jesus as Lord, we are at the same time confessing we're not the Lord of our own lives. That's what when you confess Jesus as Lord, you are saying, I'm not the Lord of my own life. Romans 10:9 says this, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And this is before we talk about other gifts, can we just recognize this is the best gift? This is the best gift that we could ever be given. For us to actually believe in our hearts and confess it with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, that only happens by a supernatural work of God's Spirit in our lives. In effect, we can't save ourselves, but God can, and he does. So let me just stop and say here, and I know there's people, if you're here this morning, and if you've never confessed Jesus as your Lord, and in this moment, if you're feeling any prompting in your heart, like any pricking in your heart, that's God's Holy Spirit working on you. You don't have to say a prayer verbatim, right? You don't have to say words exactly the way it should be said for God to hear it and match up and say, okay, yeah, you're in. You don't have to say that. You don't have to try to be good enough to meet God halfway and earn his favor. You don't have to clean yourself up a little bit and then God says, I'll meet you. You don't have to do that. You can confess Jesus as Lord right now in the middle of your sin and mess up. And you can confess that you've sinned and fallen short of God's glory and the Lord of your own life status that you thought you had. And you can place your faith in Jesus and say that, and believe in the fact that he lived the life you can never live and then died the death that you deserve to die because of your sin. And you can confess that Jesus is Lord. And what does Romans 10:9 say? You might be saved. No. It says you will be saved. Titus 3:5-6 is one of my favorite verses in Scripture. And this is what Titus 3:5-6 says. He, being Jesus, God, he saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, nothing that you could have done, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Salvation is the best gift that we could ever possibly conceive, but it's not the only gift. It's not the only thing that the Holy Spirit is producing in his people, right? So the first gift was that you can only confess Jesus as Lord by his Holy Spirit working in us. This is truth number two. It's not the only thing he's doing. Truth number two is this. God's Spirit empowers a variety of spiritual gifts in his people. God's Spirit empowers a variety of spiritual gifts in his people. as we think about this truth and this passage, I mean, the first question that we got to answer is, what in the world is a spiritual gift? What are spiritual gifts? And this is the confusion that he's writing to address, right? Remember verse 1, he says, concerning spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be uninformed. So he's writing to inform them about what spiritual gifts are. So as we're sitting here, let's not be uninformed. Let's be corrected about what spiritual gifts are. So spiritual gifts are gifts of grace that God himself works through us as individuals for his purposes. Spiritual gifts are gifts of grace that God himself produces or works through us as individuals for his purposes. So let's think about what spiritual gifts are not. Spiritual gifts are not just glorified natural abilities. It's not something that it's not just skills. Not just something that you're good at or you like doing. Spiritual gifts are not something that you can master by going to school and really honing in your craft. Spiritual gifts are not something that you can learn by training or by going somewhere and really training yourself to be more gifted in this area. They're gifts of grace. And notice who the source is. Who gives the gifts? Look with me at verses 4 through 6. And as we read, just notice what the source is of all these gifts. Verse 4, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God. Notice, I just love these three verses. The same source, but it also highlights the triune God, does it not? It's the same Spirit that gives it in verse 4. Verse 5, it's the same Lord Jesus Christ who gives it. Verse 6, it's the same God the Father who empowers it all to happen. And look with me down at verse 11, at the very end of our passage, to see how Paul chooses to close this introduction to spiritual gifts. Verse 11, he says, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit. Dr. James Merritt says in his commentary, he says this, spiritual gifts, simply put, are supernatural endowments that enable us to carry out God's work in God's way. They are provided by the grace of God, and they are powered by the Spirit of God. They are truly supernatural gifts. But the fact that all spiritual gifts have the same source, being God, Spirit, who gives them to us, that doesn't mean that we all have the same gifts. Just because we have the same source doesn't mean that the same source is producing in us the exact same giftings. But from the same source comes a variety of gifts, right? Remember our truth number two, God's Spirit empowers a variety of spiritual gifts in his people. Look at verses 4 through 6. The first time we read it, we focused on the source being the sameness of who's giving out the gifts, God. Now, as we read this, notice the variety. It's not hard to see it. It's the same word in every single verse, but he says this. Now there are varieties of gifts. Same Spirit. Verse 5, there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. Verse 6, there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who's empowering them all in everyone. Simply put, God does not give everyone the same gifts. And praise God for that. But with beautiful diversity, he gifts us, his people, in unique and awesome ways. This means that if you're sitting in the chair, odds are you are not gifted in the same way that the person to your right or left is gifted. So odds are you're not. You're gifted in unique and beautiful ways. But every Christian, if you're a Christian in the room, every Christian is spiritually gifted. That's what he says in verse 6, does he not? There are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers all these things in everyone. Not just a subset of awesome Christians, but he says every member, everyone is gifted. You might not think of yourself in this way. Like, you might not think, I'm gifted by the Spirit. You might not think of yourself this way. You might not have been the valedictorian or top of your class graduating high school or college. You might not have been the captain of your high school athletic team. You might not be on American Idol wooing everyone with your skills. You're on Chopped. That's a cooking show. Yeah, on Chopped or a cooking show, showing everyone the awesome skills that you have. You might not be that or top of your work food chain because of how gifted you are in your workplace. You might not be those things, but you are spiritually gifted by God Himself. Everyone in this room, whether you feel like it or not, if you're a Christian, everyone in this room has a gift that God, at least one, a gift that God has given you that He desires to fan into flame for you to use. In verses 8 through 10, Paul, he lists some of the varieties of spiritual gifts that are prevalent in his, that are seen in his people. Just some of them. And as we look at this list in 8 through 10, there's 9 different gifts he gives. But this list of gifts is not exhaustive. There's certainly more gifts that are on this page. I mean, he gives different lists in 1 Corinthians later on in 12, and 1 Corinthians 14, and Romans 12. He gives different lists. So I've sat in a classroom setting before where we read a passage like 1 Corinthians 12, and we listed out the 9 different spiritual gifts, and we said, okay, you got to be one of these. Which one are you? I've sat in that's just unwise and unhelpful, I think. Actually, I know, because this is not an exhaustive list. You don't have to have one of these gifts to be spiritually gifted. He's just highlighting some of the gifts that were prevalent in the Corinthian church. So let's not do that, but let's think about why he talks about some of these gifts. So let's look at this list of gifts together. Verse 8, first gift. He says, for to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. First gift we see is someone who is wise, who can say wise things. Paul makes a big deal about wisdom in 1 Corinthians. If you remember back in August and September when we started 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, 2, and 3, he makes a huge deal about wisdom from God. I mean, listen to me at 1 Corinthians 1, 23 to 24. He says this, that this is true wisdom. We preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles, but to those who are being called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. So the spiritual gift of sayings or utterances of wisdom would know how to take this, Christ crucified, the gospel. We know how to take the gospel and then apply it to everyday life and everyday decision making. Simply put, wisdom is knowledge that is applied. Not just head knowledge, but how to speak it into different instances of life. A wise person can know and instruct how the gospel affects marital conflict or financial issues or job stress or changes and can speak how the gospel affects this. That's the first gift. Second gift, look at verse 8. Let's continue walking through it. He says, to another, the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. Knowledge, this gift of knowledge. This will be the gift to be able to correctly look at God's word, understand it, and then speak it in an instructive way. It's the ability to understand and then communicate God's truth, even if it's hard, the deep things of God. And this is closely related to the gift of wisdom. It's like we could think about it as a gift of teaching. I think it's more along those lines, a gift of teaching. So gift of knowledge, next gift. Let's look at verse 9. To another, faith by the same Spirit. The faith, the gift of faith that's listed here is not saving faith, right? Every Christian has faith. We have faith that Jesus is who he says he is. But he's talking about a different type of faith. Here's the gift. It's the gift of looking at really hard situations, really hard circumstances, and then knowing and believing that God will reveal his power, will reveal his will, his grace in a special way. Okay, God's going to work this out. We've got faith. Faith that moves mountains. Right? It's a deep-seated trust that knows that God will work all things together for his good, will work all things out for his glory and our good. And then being able to communicate that faith. What's the next gift? Next gift in verse 9. He says this, to another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. This is the gift that knows and expects God to still heal. I mean, we live in our day and age that we live with our modern medicine and science. There's just a lot less of a reliance on God to be the one who heals, right? In Corinth, they didn't have medicine. They didn't have modern medicine. So there was probably a lot. I mean, there definitely was more dependence on God to be the one who heals. But someone who has the gift of healing will be somebody who has the gift of knowing and believing that God can still heal. And he'll do it. Verse 10, to another, the working of miracles. This gift is very closely related to healing. It's just the gift of knowing and believing that God can prove his power over and above any natural limitation that we might give him. God's God, and he can do whatever he wants in the world. The person with this gift would communicate, would rely on and communicate that God still does miraculous things in the world. Not putting it in a box, but realizing, man, God's really big. He can work miracles still. Next gift, verse 10. To another, prophecy. This gift consists of spontaneous, spirit-filled, intelligible messages that honor Christ and his word. A person with this gift would have the ability by the Spirit, that's really important, by the Spirit, to speak into different situations, to speak into people's lives in a way that instructs them or corrects them or encourages them. And at the very base, honors Christ and is encouraging for that person. Next gift, we're still in verse 10. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. We refer to this gift a lot as the gift of discernment, discerning between what's of Jesus, what's of the Holy Spirit, and then what's not of God's Spirit. This would have been, think about why Paul's writing this in 1 Corinthians. This would have been really important because there are some people who are bringing in their naturals or their old pagan spirituality in the church. So there's some people who are gifted to say, hey, that's not God's Holy Spirit, but this is. It's a spirit-wrought ability to discern what's genuinely from God and then warn, like, hey, might want to watch out. So that's the gift of discerning between spirits. The next gift, verse 10 still, to another, various kinds of tongues. We know that Paul has waited. We're on gift 8 of 9. We know that Paul has waited to the end to introduce this topic of spiritual gifts as a whole. He kind of introduced it already at the beginning, and now he's waited at the end of this list because it is the controversial gift at hand. We're going to see he devotes a lot of time in chapter 14 to the specific gift of tongues. So this is a controversial one that he's writing to in the church of Corinth. It's still controversial to this day, right? We can attest to that. The gift of speaking in tongues is a spirit-inspired saying, not an out-of-body or out-of-control instance, but it's in speech that is essentially unintelligible to the speaker and its hearers. We'll learn a lot about this spiritual gift in later sermons. 1 Corinthians 14 is all about it. So we're going to get our fill about this gift. But this is a gift that's given by God. Nowhere, this is debated amongst church Christianity across the world, but nowhere in the scriptures do we see that this gift has stopped. We don't see that. Nowhere in the scriptures do we see that this gift is essential for you to be saved. You got to have this gift. Nowhere. We don't see that in the scriptures. But it's one of the gifts that God empowers in his people, and it's the only gift that comes with the requirement that somebody else has another gift. It's the only gift that's given that says, hey, look at the next part, to another, the interpretation of tongues. What he says. He makes it clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 14 that if someone were to exercise the gift of speaking in tongues, that there's got to be somebody who can understand it, who can interpret it, and then tell people, hey, here's what he just said. Whew, those are nine. Nine unique gifts that God gives to his people. And we got to recognize, as we just read this list, that we don't see a lot of these gifts, or some of these gifts. We don't see them regularly in our church, or in a lot of churches that we know of. We just don't really see it, maybe ever. Maybe you've never experienced one of these gifts in a biblical way. But it's our understanding from Scripture that none of these gifts that we read about have ceased. Nowhere in Scripture do we see that being the case. And we'll talk about that, right, in the coming weeks and months in 1 Corinthians. At the same time, there are many gifts that are represented in this room that aren't even on this list. Like, these are 9 unique gifts, but there's lots of other gifts that God empowers in his people. So it's important for us to remember what? That 1 Corinthians is a letter written by a specific person, Paul, to a specific church, the church in Corinth, where these specific gifts were represented amongst the people. It does not mean, when we read 1 Corinthians 12, that these gifts have to be represented in every church. It doesn't mean that. And I also recognize that there are Christians, maybe some in this room, who have experienced abuse of some of these gifts, or some of the teachings on these gifts, the misuse of some of these gifts, and it's hardened you. It's hardened me in the past. And to turn away from all things, tongues and prophecy and spiritual gifts, it's just made me a little bit ignorant when it comes to it because of some of the abuse that I've seen. I recognize that in Christians, maybe in this room, that might be you. And we also recognize that there are some Christians who have taken this text, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, and have become obsessed with experiencing spiritual things. Like, become obsessed with experiencing what 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 talk about. Those are two ditches that we've seen Christians fall into, either ignoring them and being uninformed or liking them a little too much. And those are two ditches. And we don't want to fall on either side of the ditch, right? We want to know what God says about them in his word and then live in the middle ground, right? Here's what 1 Corinthians 12 is telling us. At the very basis is this. God's Spirit empowers a variety of spiritual gifts in his people. So may we not be a people who sit here and say things like this. I wish God would use me. I wish I could be useful in this church. I wish I was given a gift that God could use to really serve his church. You know why I don't want us to be those people? Because you have been spiritually gifted. Each person in this room, you've been gifted, and you've been gifted for a reason. Truth number three, what is the reason that we've been gifted? Truth number three is this. God's Spirit gives spiritual gifts for the common good of his church. God's Spirit gives spiritual gifts for what purpose? For the common good of his church. Verse 7 is a crucial verse in this verse. Verse 7 and 11 are crucial. But verse 7, after he shows the same source, God's Spirit, giving him a variety of gifts, verse 7 reads this. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. Huge four words here, for the common good. God has designed you to use your giftings not just for your own spiritual, or not just for your own personal gain. God has given you gifts not just for your own satisfaction and sanctification and encouragement, but God has gifted the believer, you in this room, for the common good of the church from the same source. Come a variety of giftings, but for the same purpose, to build his church. Dr. James Merritt, once again, in this commentary, says, if a gift is not used for the common good of the church, it is no longer a used gift, but an abused gift. So as you think about why God has gifted us and how God has gifted us, let's just think about it. How has God spiritually gifted you? And then how can you use that gifting that God has given you to bless, build up, and edify God's church? Dr. Adrian Rogers says this, spiritual gifts are not given for your enjoyment, but for God's employment. They are not toys for playing. They are tools for building. I found that really helpful. We have an assignment from God. Edify, build up his church. And we've got the tools to do it. And it's our spiritual gifts. And I just look out in this room, and I am so thankful for so many of you who use your spiritual gifts for the common good of this church. So I'm going to embarrass some people right now. Julianne Kraft, I thank you for using your gift. You just walked in and you're like, what in the world's happening? Julianne is the most, one of the most, the word has escaped me. When you are sharing the gospel, evangelistic, there you go. She's one of the most evangelistic people you will ever meet. When you talk to Julianne and say, how can I pray for you? She doesn't talk about herself. She talks about people in her life that she wants to understand the gospel. And she uses her gifting in that way, in a beautiful way. I think of guys like Jordan Curry, who is one of the most encouraging, individually encouraging people. He serves this church in ways that you would never even know. And he does it without wanting to be seen. He serves our student ministry super well. I think about Miss Cynthia Clayton. You are so encouraging to, I've told you this before, to worship with and sing with. Because the way you're interacting with the words on the screen, I know that you're singing from your heart, and it's super encouraging. I think about Mr. Wayne McLemore and Miss Mary Lynn McLemore, who have the gift of, we can all say it, hospitality, right? They're not here this morning. Miss Mary Lynn's mother's funeral is tomorrow. So keep praying for them. But so many of us who are younger, who are not living where our families live, have said something like this to our families. Oh, we're good. We got a mom and dad here. It's Miss Mary Lynn and Mr. Wayne, right? Because they care for people so well. They've got the gift of hospitality. I think about people she's not here, like Miss Zena Riley, who has prophetically spoken words to me and other people in this church that are spot on and encouraging. And helpful for us as we consider how to live in God's world, God's way. Those are just some. Hope I didn't embarrass you too much. And if I didn't say your name, you are spiritually gifted. I just don't have time, right? And I can look across the room and think about so many brothers and sisters who use your gifts to build up this church. And I thank you, right? I thank you for not holding your gift to yourself, but using it for a purpose, God's purpose. So keep going, right? Keep going. Keep using your gift for the common good of his church. And as we do that, as we seek to use our giftings, our last truth is imperative for us to know and remember. Truth number four is this. God's Spirit gives spiritual gifts as he wills. God's Spirit gives spiritual gifts as he wills. Look at verse 11, where we get this truth from. Verse 11, after he lists off this list of nine spiritual gifts, talks about the variety of gifts. Verse 11, he says this, all these gifts are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. As we seek to be used by God, to use our giftings that God has given us, as we seek to go after this common goal of the common good of the church, there is a unique temptation for us to, instead of looking ahead at what the goal is, to start looking to the right or left and saying, I want that person's gift. Like, I'm a little discontent with my gift. I want what that guy has or that girl has. There's a temptation to be discouraged because we wish we had a different gift or a more desirable gift. Or a more upfront gift. But verse 11 makes it very clear. God empowers giftings in us however he wants to. However he wills. He's completely sovereign over who gets what gift. And let's just think about it. Who are we? Sinners who've been redeemed by God himself. Who are we to turn and say to God, I don't like the way you've gifted me. I wish I had a different gift. This gift of knowledge that you've given me is all right, but I really wish I had the gift of wisdom. This gift of This gift of serving behind the scenes is all right, but I really wish I had the gift of teaching and being up front of people. There's no hierarchy in spiritual gifts. He doesn't list these out and say, these are the best, and these are good, these are bad, but some people have them. He doesn't say that. Teaching is not looked at. What I'm doing right now is, in God's eyes, is not looked at more favorably than the person serving in the nursery right now. Wisdom is not more important than the person who behind the scenes quietly encourages. And in fact, Jesus taught and modeled the opposite. Did he not? Jesus modeled an upside down approach to serving in God's kingdom. In Mark 10, 43 through 45, there's been a dispute. Oh, I spit everywhere just now. In Mark 10, 43 through 45, there's been a dispute among some of Jesus' friends, and they're thinking, who's the best? Who's the greatest? Who amongst us has got it going on? And listen to what Jesus says. Whoever will be great among you must be your servant. Whoever will be first among you must be... Oh, wait. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. God uses every member, every gift to build his church. And he can assign whichever gifts to whomever he chooses. And guess what? He knows what's best. He knows what's best. So I want to close this with just three very specific takeaways as we wrap up our time this morning in God's Word. Takeaway number one is this. Confess Jesus as Lord. If you want to ask it a question, you could ask, who is your Lord? Is it you or is it Jesus? Confess Jesus as your Lord. If you're here this morning, like I said at the very beginning, if you're here this morning and you've never confessed Jesus as your Lord, this is the best gift and the most foundational gift. It's eternity altering. It is life shaping. It is everything. And it's offered to you this morning by God himself. Listen to what God says in God's word in Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. So what your sin earns for you is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Salvation is a free gift because it's been paid for. Jesus pays for it and then offers it to us freely. He stood in our place by willingly going to the cross and taking all of our sin, all of our shame, upon his own shoulders. He died for sinners like you and me so that he could offer us eternal life, a free gift, a gift that we could never pay for, but he could. So before you think, if you're not a Christian in the room, the application for you is not to think, how am I gifted? How can I use what God has blessed me with? The application for you is get right with Jesus. Right? Is he your Lord? Receive the gift of heaven. Takeaway number two is this. Seek to know and use your spiritual gifts. Seek to know, and not just know them, but use your spiritual gifts. We said it a lot, but I'll just say it again as we wrap up. Every single person in here who's a Christian has been spiritually gifted. So, as you seek to know your gifts, ask people around you who you trust, hey, how am I gifted? Not as a means to say, tell me how awesome I am. That's not the purpose. That's not the goal and motivation. But as we seek to know our gifts so that we can use our gifts, ask the people around you who you trust, hey, how has God designed me? How has he gifted me for service in his kingdom? There's spiritual gift assessments that are out there that are helpful, but I'm convinced the best way to know your spiritual gifts is to plunge yourself into the life of a local church, and your gifts will come to the top pretty fast. So seek to know your gifts and use your gifts for the common good of the church. The point of this whole passage, the point of spiritual gifts, is for the purpose of building up the church. So don't rob the church and don't rob yourself by withholding your gift. The church needs your gifts, not just the person beside you, but needs you. We need you. Takeaway number three is this. Be grateful for your gifts, not envious of others. Be grateful for your gifts, not envious of others. God has gifted you as He wills, and God doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't make mistakes. He has gifted you the very way He wants to gift you. So realize and be on guard against the temptation of being jealous of other people's giftings and being discontent with the way that God has made you. Guard yourself. This is a temptation to sin. Guard yourself against that temptation. Man, there is real freedom to be found in using the gifts that God has given you. There's freedom to be found in that, right? Yeah, man, I look at my life, and I look at my life, and I'm really sinful. I am a deep sinner. And God so graciously gives sinners like me and you in this room tools to be useful in His kingdom. Like He wants us to be a part of His building project, not because we're awesome and not because God says, I need you on my team. It's not, God doesn't need us to accomplish anything, but He wants us. He wants us to be a part. He's incredibly gracious, and He desires to share His Spirit with you. So thank God for how He's gifted you. He has, and use it for His building. Let's pray.
Oh, Lord, we just pray right now that we would do two things. Number one, we would confess You as Lord. We're about to sing a song called, Oh, Praise the Name, which says this. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Praise His name forevermore. For endless days we will sing Your praise. Oh, Lord our God. So as we respond, I pray that we would work in us confessing You as our Lord. And just seeing You rightly. I pray to God that we would seek, in the second song we're going to sing, we're praying that You would be glorified and honored with our lives. So I pray that we would seek to know our gifts and to use them in Your kingdom. I pray that we could pray this and sing this honestly, that we choose to lose our lives, Lord, and find it in You. So we pray that You would do that miracle in us. Help us to respond in spirit and in truth as we worship this morning. And it's in Jesus' name we pray.